When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Does your insurance agent treat you like family?
Insurance Corporation is programmed to build interpersonal relationships with members of family units. We communicate on a forename basis with all customer numbers.
Only a human who knows you can create a plan that's right for you. That's why for more than 80 years, Farm Bureau Financial Services has built relationships first and plans second. It's your future. Let's protect it. Talk to a Farm Bureau agent today or visit fbfs.com/protect.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is part two of a series of podcasts that the Fighting Cock is producing about the Y word. We're aiming to encourage conversation and step towards a resolution where all sides of all parties in the argument felt heard and understood. In this episode, we talk to writer, journalist and broadcaster Charlie Peters in an attempt to get to the bottom of why Tottenham fans feel so strongly about being able to self-identify using the word Yid and where the resilience to change might come from. If you haven't listened to the first podcast on the Y word we've done, please do. It's season 9, episode 30. Thank you.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Welcome, Charlie, to the Fighting Cock.
Thanks very much for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. If you haven't been aware, we've put out a previous podcast with a young Jewish Spurs fan discussing the issue because obviously the debate has reared its head again, as it does every 4 or 5 years, and essentially Spurs are being pressured to come under or to follow Chelsea in eradicating the term "yid" from the terraces. And obviously there's been a reaction, many reactions, and the club seem to be following that up with by putting together a consultation where it canvassed the opinion of many Spurs fans to get a genuine idea about what these fans think. Although there are problems with the survey, so there's a difference between match day going fan and a fan from abroad, and anybody I think who was a member or season ticket could have responded to it. So
yeah, it was self-selecting in that way.
Yeah. So Charlie, tell us a bit about yourself, your background, and why we're talking to you. I guess what's your credibility?
Sure. Well, I mean, first off and most importantly of all, I am a season ticket holder at Spurs. I sit in the West End, where all great people do. and I've been a Spurs fan since birth, obviously. But professionally, I'm a journalist, writer, and broadcaster, and researcher based in London. Write for The Telegraph, do a bit of TV and radio, BBC, and I contribute to National Review in the United States. So all sorts, really.
Okay.
But yeah.
What's your take then on Tottenham Hotspur fans' continued use of the term "yid"?
Well, I mean, I continue to use the term "yid" first and foremost. So, I mean, I think I slot in with the majority of the match-going fan base. And I know that the consultation told us that a majority of those who responded weren't in favour of continuing using the term, or at least wanted to see it steadily removed. But that's not the feeling I get when I go to games, both home and away. You still hear it from, you know, the base of the Seven Sisters Tube all the way up the high road during the game and after, and sometimes throughout smatterings of London on the way home. So I support the continued use of the term "yid". I don't think Spurs fans using the term is anti-Semitic, but I can see why some people feel that way. I think that a broadening in terms of the understanding of why Spurs fans use that term is going to be particularly important, and for people who look in on the club. And also, I think people need to recognise the context within which it comes. I think all too often fans of other clubs will use this as a stick to beat us with kind of anti-racism agendas of their own club, saying, "Oh, you can't complain about us being, about our fans being racist here and there if you regularly use this racist terms at your games." I think it's terribly unfair. It misunderstands the fact that the term "yid" originated in at Tottenham Hotspur in an anti-racist capacity and has now been adopted as an identity in that respect. And of course, it's developed beyond that now. It means more than just a kind of a shield against anti-Semitic attacks. And it's part of our identity. It's part of what it means to be, I think, a Spurs fan. You're a Yid.
We're definitely going to come on to identity. But Tottenham, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is that they've come under pressure to follow Chelsea's lead and do more to fight anti-Semitism. What do you make of that statement?
Well, all football clubs can do more to fight anti-Semitism, but I don't think that removing the term that we use to describe ourselves will make a difference there, right? I mean, Frank Ferrady is a great writer and Spurs fan who went to college in the United States during the late 60s, said that people said about other people in New York that if they knew New York really well, that was a kind of a way of describing them as being Jewish, right? That was a kind of a subtle way of saying someone was Jewish. And you wouldn't ban saying New York, would you, in order to get around an alternative way of describing someone as Jewish or using that kind of slander. You try and get to the root of why people want to be dodgy and say that. In the same way, you wouldn't want to remove the word "yid" from the Spurs fan base, because by doing that, you don't necessarily remove anti-Semitic thought. You just remove a term we use to describe ourselves. Of course, yeah, all football fans, all football clubs can do more, and I'm sure there are ways of getting around this. But A, I don't think anyone's ever going to fully get rid of racism, let alone on football terraces. And secondly, I think you have to be careful you're not overstepping the mark. There is such a thing as going too far in trying to clamp down on intolerance. And we have to make sure we don't try and take away some of the things that give this game life. And this term is one of them.
I think the other issue with that statement is that it suggests or removes the idea of context. And
massively.
You know, meaning and intent. And to say that you're absolutely fighting Chelsea's use of the word, or Chelsea fans' use of the word yield, is very different from addressing Tottenham fans. But obviously we've gone over that many, many times, and I think that's clear. Today the Oxford English Dictionary has announced that from their January 2020 editions, that a variation on the Y word has been included. They even reference Tottenham in their description of the word. And this is what it says. It's they say Yiddo, which is a noun, a Jew, also in extended use, a supporter of or a player for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. See Yid.
Well, fantastic. I mean, they'll have to get it out of the dictionary if the club have their success in in removing this term from the terraces. So it'll have to be a further update if they succeed in that respect. So I certainly hope they don't. It's cradle now. Even Oxford agrees it's happened.
Does this help in the argument that the word is a part, in part now belongs to Tottenham supporters as a term of identity?
No. I mean, we've always known, right? We don't need the Oxford English Dictionary to tell us the term is important for our identity. I think it's organic as it is, right? It grew out very naturally from the 70s, and it's not really left the club since. I think everyone, you know, you don't need the dictionary to tell us, but sure, it looks good and it feels quite cool, right? You know, that it's there, but I think.
I guess what my question is
maintained by fans.
I agree. And I guess my question though is that there may be an argument from some sections of society who want Tottenham fans to stop using or self-identifying in that way. But when the term, and one argument I've always made is that the term means in part a Tottenham Hotspur fan or player, as well as it does an offensive term for Jew. So if the Oxford Dictionary are defining it, both defining, saying the word has two definitions, then that's fact.
It's now a fact. We've got some credence, but it was true before Oxford said it. We all know this is the case. And you were talking about context in the previous question. You know, and Bruce Buck, the chief executive of Chelsea, has said recently that he is concerned or confused, and his fans are confused as to why Chelsea fans can't use the word yid and why Spurs fans can use the word yid. I mean, Bruce Buck is an American lawyer of some high standing, 35 years of experience in top class international corporate law. And he wants us to believe that he can't understand the difference between Spurs fans using the term yid and Chelsea fans using the term yid. Everybody else gets it, right? People without law degrees understand the context about Spurs fans using it as a form of identity and Chelsea fans using it as a form of racial malice and anti-Semitic bigotry. I think it's just silly. I think it's just really silly.
I think he does understand it, but I think he realises his position as a Chelsea, was it chief executive or chairman, whoever it is.
Chief executive. Everyone knows that he really gets it, right? But him to say that, oh, my fans don't really understand. It's like, well, it's your job to educate them, Bruce.
Yes.
Okay. If that's a problem, if your fans don't understand, then maybe you should explain that there is a context difference, and you shouldn't put the blame back at the door at Tottenham Hotspur.
How important is freedom to self-identify and freedom of expression, in your opinion?
Very important. It is the lifeblood of modernity. The freedom to self-express is the midwife of the future. If you can't self-express, then you can't deliver ideas, and you can't be who you are. And many Tottenham Hotspur fans feel as though they are yids, and that is their right to do, and that's fine, and we shouldn't have a problem with that. That we have chosen to identify in this way, as I've said, has come in reaction to something rather nastier, and removing our capacity to make that identity will not remove the vitriol it came from. And football's changing. Everyone knows this, right? Football is becoming more the same everywhere you go, and what it means to belong to a club and what it means to have the identity of being a fan to a club is becoming more and more neutral, identical. The grounds look the same. The experience of going to a certain club feels the same. And if you remove the little things which make a big difference in signifying that you have a sense of place and are belonging to a particular institution like Tottenham, then I think football's the worst for it.
But
if Everton stopped calling themselves the Toffees, that would be a shame. And for the same reason, if Tottenham stopped calling themselves the Yids, that would be a shame.
Of course, but no one's offended by the use of the word Toffees, are they? Whereas
maybe some diabetics out there are particularly upset by the regular.
Perhaps.
No, I'm being facetious. Yeah. I'm being facetious, obviously. But you get the point, right? Football is becoming more and more the same, and the freedom to identify and say who you are and what it means to be a part of that club is important. And if you remove that, I think it turns us more into customers than fans.
This is a question that's going to be difficult to answer, but is it more important though than the impact it has on Jewish people who find it offensive?
That is a difficult question, obviously.
I'll frame it another way.
It's fine. No, you don't have to. I'm going to answer it. It's completely fair. I think first and foremost, the freedom to self-identify is the most important thing. So, by extension, I have to answer yes to that question. I think it is more important than some people not liking the term and wishing to see it removed from all aspects of society, be it anti-Semitic bigotry or be it Spurs fans using it for their own identity. I'm, of course, extremely sympathetic with these people, and I've met many of them at games who have reacted visibly in some degree of distress and upset when they've heard it. But they, I just hope that they come to terms with it in some way, and that they learn to appreciate that Spurs fans don't use it in a negative context, and that it's okay, that it's not being used in a negative context.
I guess
it's a hope, right? It's a hope. But
yeah, and I think part of the reason why doing these podcasts was, a series of podcasts around the Y word, was to help contribute to a conversation that's happening. Saying, look, here's me, and I'm trying to be objective yeah. as possible.
Right? Objective, definitely objective.
Yeah, I'm trying to be as objective as possible, right? Because it's no good two people going on there going, we want to say the word, right? I have to maintain a medium position.
Of course not.
And that's hopefully helpful towards the people that perhaps don't agree with Spurs fans' use of the word to show that we are willing to talk about this. And this isn't a closed book. And it's not a case of, although we do have the song, they tried to stop us, but look what we did. That's an element of defiance from certainly a time when Spurs fans were being arrested for saying it in the stadium.
I remember that game against West Ham. Was it 2013, 2014?
Yeah.
When that was happening, and then the chant came at the week after. And people need to understand that was definitely something that we stared down in the face. The very, very real threat of arrest.
The thing is that actually the system is working in Spurs fans' favour, those that want to say it. Because there was three fans that were arrested, and they went to the beginnings of a pre-trial, and the Crown Prosecution Service threw it out, and all were just released without any issue, and all charges dropped. And this was on the basis of intent and context. And this has already happened. And then there's the Oxford Dictionary have included it now in their dictionaries from this point going forward. So it almost seems like there is an outside force that is obsessing over Tottenham's fans' use of this word, because they feel that it's our use of it that gives Chelsea, West Ham and whoever else want to say it an opportunity to.
Justification and the freedom to do it. It is a nonsense argument, really, isn't it? And you would have to say to these people, do you think that if other groups stopped using terms previously used to slander them, that racism would disappear in their direction? No one seriously believes that, and they shouldn't believe it in the circumstances of Spurs fans either.
Where does this obsession come from then, if it is that? Like, David Baddiel has been quite irate and outspoken over the years. Why are they, do you think, clinging on to this side of the coin of the, in terms of the Spurs fan using it as the term of endearment and belonging and identity, and Chelsea fans using it as a term of hate?
Well, I mean, as a journalist, that can be cynical. It's a great story. And you know it's always going to allow you to attract attention, you know, and you take on an entire mobilized and very vocal and passionate group of people who are going to stand up and engage in the conversation. So in that respect, it's a great way to bring some attention to yourself or your paper. But when it comes to clinging on to that side of the coin in the argument itself, I don't know, because clearly it's a losing battle, right? They're not making any ground on this point that it is giving moral sucker to racists from other clubs. That's clearly not happening, and no one seriously believes that, not even Bruce Bach, I don't think. So yes, the cynic in me believes what I've just said, but I hope that isn't why it's repeatedly being done. And I don't know why, like, the Society of Black Lawyers, for example, back in when this came around more aggressively quite recently, I don't know who decided that they were the kind of arbiters of what can and cannot be said. And I think you have to be an incredibly arrogant person, incredibly arrogant, to say what you think other people can and cannot say, especially tens of thousands of people gathered together in free and voluntary association. They can't use a term because you don't like it, or because you think other people you might be defending don't like it. I think it's really authoritarian and quite weird, actually, quite strange. It makes me a bit nervous thinking of these people, but I hope I never become one of them.
I guess the argument about the, you know, your right to offend, you're in a country of freedom of speech, that people will get offended by the opinions of others. And I think there's a line of decency that can be held up where you're not going to walk around the street, and you can get arrested for abhorrent language and racist views that are aired in public spaces. So
precedents have been set in that regard. So, you know, times have changed certainly since the last big move on this. And times have changed a lot in terms of communications law since 2013-14, and new precedents have been set for hate crime and hate speech in the law. So who knows, things could be different in the future. So yeah, there definitely is a change in the legal attitude and the policing attitude towards speech. And I think Spurs fans should be quite wary of that.
Yeah, and it may be that we gradually move towards this sort of hyper-diluted or sensitive society where it will come to a point where legal cases are reopened. But I don't see that the police going at lengths to pursue this again, given the fact that the CPS would probably find the same result. They're not going to have the resources. And I don't know if you remember that we had, I think it might have been Dnipro Pro or Anzhi in the UEFA Cup, right? Europa League.
Yeah, I remember that era.
Yes, and we did an 18...
That glorious time.
Yeah, exactly. We did an 1882 game at one of those games, basically, and we had a block in the Park Lane Lower, and the police presence in our block was incredible. I'm not saying
I remember this.
Do you remember? Because I remember
Anzhi. It was the one before the Besiktas game, and there was a big change between the two of them, I think.
Yeah, and so our block was full, one of the only blocks that were full in the stadium, because, you know, we were only
it was Thursday night under 26,000 at a push. Yeah,
against a team you've never heard of or could pronounce. Right, so
precisely. Yeah.
So you know, and there was police looking up and picking people for saying it, and arrests were made on that night as well. That requires resource, and it requires time and investigation and a drain on the police services. And given the fact that this, it's under, well, no, 50,000 coppers short than where we need to be, a kind of attacking or a legal approach towards Spurs fans doesn't seem like the best way to spend money. Arresting those that are singing, you know, anti-Semitic songs or making gas chamber noises at football is probably the correct way to deal with it.
I think the police waste a lot of time at football in general, but especially when it comes down to chanting. For the best part of the last 5 or 6 years, I've lived in Scotland, where there was a terrible law on the books until last year called the Offensive Behaviour at Football Act, or the OBUA, and it criminalised. It was brought in, right, to deal with a whole wide range of sectarian chanting, which is a big problem, as many I'm sure are aware, in Glasgow and Edinburgh, between Hearts, Hibs, and Rangers, and Celtic. I'm a Catholic, for what it's worth, and I went to quite a lot of Rangers games when I lived up in Edinburgh, just because good club, and I had a lot of mates who supported them. So I went along to quite a lot of games when I was there, just to get the fix when I was away from Tottenham. And I heard a lot, as you can imagine, a lot of anti-Catholic bigotry and really nasty chanting. But not once did I think, oh, these people really do stick by their horrible anti-Catholic views. And I'm convinced that lots of them left the terraces and did not retain a lot of that bigotry themselves.
Absolutely.
But the law that was brought in, the Obua law, found these people. And, you know, the kind of very scary authoritarian line was, who knows where the chant might take you, you know, and they lock you up and all the rest of it. People were arrested at Old Firm games or just regular, you know, Rangers at this time weren't in the top league, regular matches against other opposition for seeing chants about the Pope and all the rest of it. And it was really ludicrous. And now it's been thrown out because they realise that the people seeing these things weren't actually harbouring the views that they believed they were representing. And it was seen as being way too restrictive on freedom of speech. And I fear a similar kind of law could take precedent in England or, you know, across the UK as a whole, if we keep up this same level of attention and, I think, moral panic over the use of Spurs fans using the word yet. It's just not justified.
They called it the 90-minute bigot in the Old Firm especially. So you walk in, a bigot or a anti-Catholic or anti-Protestant, and then you leave and you go back to your lives as normal. Now, I saw it myself. There is issues with that. I mean, you can understand where there needs to be a conversation about it. But the other thing to take into account is that both sides of this coin, or both sides of these supports, engage in it. This is a back and forth battle, and both of them sing stuff that could be considered to be abhorrent. But it's such an intrinsic part of what they are as a football club. To take that away from them, because perhaps, and I'm not suggesting this is the only reason, but this is one of the reasons that outside societies can't understand the traditions of this football match in this that's those two stadia.
Yeah,
is a shame, I think.
Huge shame. And I'm not one to defend bigotry in its truest sense, but the chants you hear at these grounds, you just know. If you understand the culture around the clubs and the sport and terraces in general, you learn to appreciate that what happens there doesn't really happen outside the ground. And I'm sure there will be a minority within those elements of those fans who do actually retain these views, and they will belong to kind of paramilitary curious groups, and they'll be a bit strange like that. But for the most part, it really is a 90-minute bigot. And I think arresting people along those lines is really quite crazy. And the people, of course, that have been considering similar action or calling for similar action in England or with Spurs fans, I think it's the same kind of problem they've had in Scotland. They don't really understand the club that they're criticising. They don't understand the people they're criticising. I reckon that a significant portion of the non-football following people calling for Yid to be removed from White Hart Lane's terraces, they've never been. They've never heard. They don't actually know what they're talking about. They don't understand the origin of the word. I mean, I myself didn't understand the origin of the word well into my teenage years. Not as in I didn't understand that it had anti-Semitic connotations, but I didn't understand the full history of why we used it, where it came from, how it originated. So why should we trust the future of a term we use to identify with people who don't know what they're talking about in the first place? I think it's all a bit of a sham, to be honest.
And finally, Charlie, how do you see the Y-word debate playing out?
How do I see the Y-word? I think you'll be crazy to make any predictions along the lines of what the police will do with speech laws and how this debate will continue. But I mean, a precedent has kind of been set in this, right? Well, just it whips up a media frenzy for a month or two. A consultation will take place to reassure the media and affected parties that the club can be seen to be doing something. But my hope is that we will continue to use the term. We'll continue to make the justified and, I think, rather agreeable arguments against removing the word. And I hope we bring it back a bit more to football. We can hear the chant more.
I do actually think it's going to be a case of what the will of the Spurs fans, right? And by that, the club really are in no position to tell us what we can and can't do. If we're within the law, which has proven to be the case, then it's really none of the club's business. It has nothing to do with what we chant.
Well, you don't know. I mean, I get it, it's their house, their rules, though, right? I mean, swearing at football, they can kick you out for that. So why can't they kick you out for a rule, a word that they've also deemed inappropriate? Yeah. I think we shouldn't rely on the club giving us the support that we might want them to. It will, as you say, come down to the will of Spurs fans. If they keep putting up an affronted opposition and keep using the term, then I don't think it will go. But as soon as a crack starts to appear, they might latch onto it a bit more aggressively.
I think I think in time it may well disappear. I just think because as people become more conscious, and this is, you know, we're moving into a time, or have moved into a time, where people are much more conscious of their actions and the words they're saying, and realise there is a consequence for it. You could even argue that it's gotten worse in part after Brexit and Trump's election, that bigots feel more able to spout their racism because of those electoral results and the Brexit result.
I'm not necessarily going to go down that route, but I'll let you carry on.
I'm just making a statement. So but my point is that if we are becoming more conscious, then the way to deal with the Y word debate, or the way we were, the Spurs' fans' use of the word "yid" is to allow it just to peter out. But the more you stoke the flames, the more backs to the wall attitude that you're going to get from our supporters. And everybody's saying it echoes around White Lane. It's constant when you're away from home. At the moment, the appetite, despite what the consultation says, the appetite is not to let it go at all, that this is our identity.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that's my opinion necessarily. I'm just saying it seems the will of the match day going fan. And
I think that's a fair observation. And a whole new chant was born out of the last time they tried to stop us using it. And I think that lesson surely has been learned. And more conversation is always good, right? The way to deal with so-called bad speech is more good speech. So I hope that people learn more about the context of the term through these discussions taking place, through these kind of podcasts. People can understand why we use it. But at the same time, I hope that I live long enough not to see it peter out, because it's part of my identity. It's part of why I'm a Spurs fan, that term. And to lose it would be a shame.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Charlie, for joining us.
My pleasure. Cheers. Thanks.
We're going to be having more of these conversations. The next one we've got lined up is a Spurs fan who isn't Jewish, who thinks that we should stop using it. So that's going to be an interesting discussion as well.
Hey, all ticked off.
Yeah, we'll get them all. And then we're looking to speak to a couple more people as well. So I think this will probably round off of a series of five episodes, which will somehow clump together. But yeah, I hope you've enjoyed listening to that. And if you want to continue the discussion, just please don't do it to @lovetheshirt, because I haven't got time to engage with anybody. But Charlie, do you want to give your Twitter in case people want to contact you about it?
Yeah, it's @CDP1882. I think you'll know what that stands for.
Okay, beautiful. Cheers, Charlie.
Cheers, bye.
Bye. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. A Camel Tottenham! Sports Social Podcast Network. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.